think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas, here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. The start of the NBA season, you know what? It is just around the corner, so it is time for some NBA news and notes, and we are so delighted to have back with us Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. And this evening, we are going to start off our conversation and shine the spotlight on the Knicks. We're going to preview a team that added talent and star power to a lineup that I would think is giving the fans a lot of optimism. And obviously, they are fresh on our mind right here in Houston because the Knicks were in town on Tuesday night as they faced the Rockets in a not-so-impressive preseason opener. Of course, the Rockets prevailed 130-103. Good evening, Mitch. Nice to have you back with us.
Well, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. So the new-look Knicks were in town, and obviously big-time changes took place in the offseason, but I think it still looks like the same old Knicks. I mean, there was zero defense. I know it's only the first preseason game, but should Knicks fans be worried?
Yeah, well, they should be. But, you know, the Knicks have had a problem with defense over the last few years, no matter who's been coaching them, and now it's up to Jeff Hornacek to get them to play defense. But like you said at the top, they've made wholesale changes. They've got a new point guard in Derrick Rose. He's trying to bounce back from, you know, some downtime in Chicago and stay healthy. And Joakim Noah, who didn't play against the Rockets, he's already hurt. He's the new center. You got Carmelo Anthony back, Kristaps Porzingis. Courtney Lee's a new player, plus a new coach. So a lot of big changes. There's a lot of buzz about the Knicks in New York, but a lot of people are optimistic, and you have a lot of fans, Alyssa, who are kind of like a little, there's a little trepidation because they don't know how all these big names are going to hold up here.
Well, those are some big, sexy names as you're talking about the new point guard in Derrick Rose, but how competitive and much better will the Knicks ultimately be?
Well, a lot of it depends on the health of their key guys. I mean, you know, they brought in big names. They won some press conferences back in the offseason, which is always great to do, but now it's up to these guys to show that they can stay healthy and that they can return to the level they once played at. I mean, we all know Derrick Rose was an MVP player. Now, it's about 5 years ago in Chicago, and knee injuries have basically robbed him of his career since then. He hasn't been the same player. He doesn't have the same explosion offensively. He's turned into more of a point, you know, more of a distant shooter, which really isn't his, you know, that's not his strong suit. He's also playing in a new system. I mean, there's still a lot of triangle that Jeff Hornacek is going to have to use. He's never played it before, but that's the mandate from the president, Phil Jackson. So it starts there. Your most important player really is your point guard. As you know, in Houston, you got James Harden now playing for Mike D'Antoni. That's a great situation because we know what Mike's like, the point guard whisperer, whether it's Jeremy Lin or Steve Nash. These guys play tremendously for Mike D'Antoni as the point guard. Now, Jeff Hornacek in Phoenix, he had some success his first year there. They won 48 games. He had a strong backcourt with guys like Dragic and Eric Bledsoe. But now he's coming in, they're running a different system, so it depends. I mean, I think Jeff wants to run more, but I think Phil Jackson is also wants that triangle to be used. And, you know, the one thing we all know about the triangle is unless you got Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen or Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant running it, it hasn't been a great system for a lot of coaches, a lot of Phil's disciples in the league, so we'll see how it works out. But, you know, it all starts with Derrick Rose, and I think everybody wants to see him stay healthy. Now, he's on the last year of his contract, so you know what that means. he'll probably try to give it his all, probably try to play as many games as he can and have a great year so he can get his next big contract. But nobody really knows how it's going to work out.
Mitch Lawrence is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And, of course, you can follow Mitch at Mitch_Lawrence. He is the host on Sirius XM NBA Radio. And check out his work online at Forbes.com, longtime NBA columnist. We brought up his name several times. I got to ask you this, Mitch. How big of a distraction is the Derrick Rose situation in the civil trial? Because the reports that I've read, it's really disturbing, and it changes the perception of this player.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the big thing is, those are, you know, any time you're accused of being involved in a gang rape and it's a civil trial and it could be a criminal investigation, that's very, very bad. And I'm not sure how much the Knicks did their due diligence in really investigating this before they made the deal for Derrick Rose. They're so, this is a team, Alyssa, hasn't had a real quality frontline point guard, and I can't remember when. I always laugh. It's like Walt Frazier's the last great one. There have been other ones since then, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
They just haven't had. I mean, Jason Kidd 1 year when they went to the conference finals did a nice job for him. But they were so desperate to get a frontline point guard, they really rolled the dice on Derrick Rose, not just from the health standpoint, but they also knew there was going to be a trial. How much they investigated all this stuff that was happening, going to happen now, I don't know. But here's the big problem. I mean, you know this, and people know this too, fans. When you have a new program and you're starting with a new head coach and you have a new point guard who's coming in to learn where Carmelo Anthony wants the ball, how best to get Kristaps Porzingis involved, getting to learn Courtney Lee, reacquainting himself with Noah. I mean, for him to miss quality practice time during the preseason means to me this is a huge setback.
Yep.
You want to hit the ground running in the regular season. So you want to have all the preseason available where you're going to get your starters on the same page. Derrick Rose is sitting in a courtroom 3,000 miles from New York. That's not helping that at all. So I think, you know, unless this trial wraps up sooner than people think, they think it's going to go a couple of weeks. I mean, you can have a situation where Derrick Rose misses most of the preseason. But what this indicates to me is it paints this picture of watch for the Knicks could get off to a slow start, because I just don't see how you can be on the same page with all these new parts trying to mesh together if you don't have quality practice and workout time in the preseason.
Well, one would assume, you know, wonder what the Chicago Bulls are thinking. Good riddance?
Oh, they love it. First of all, you know, they had to make a decision on Derrick Rose. They felt like they had to move on. I think part of it was the trial. I think part of it also was, do we need to have this whole year be about, are we going to ante up and give Derrick Rose a big new contract at the end of the year? Maybe we can get something for him now and have somebody else have that potential headache. Now, if he has a good year here in New York, and if he shows that he can play 75 games or so, 70, 75 games, and Knicks feel like, okay, he's not the MVP player he once was, but he has given us something with an upgraded point guard, rest assured, I think he'll get a ton of money to stay in New York, and he'll be a Knick for a long time.
What did Derrick show you on Tuesday night against Houston? Did he look 100%?
No, he didn't look 100%. I mean, he looked pretty good at points. You know, the thing about Derrick Rose is the problem is, you always compare him to the player he once was when he was 20, 21 years old. He's the youngest MVP in the history of the league. I think he was 21 years old. He wins the MVP, this is now 5-6 years ago, for Tom Thibodeau in Chicago, and they won, 62 games that year. He's never going to be that player again. So what you want is you want Derrick Rose to stop just being an outside shooter, which he's basically been the last couple of years because he's still worried about the knee. Now, he came on strong the last 2 months of last year. He improved. But what you want to see him is attack the basket like he once did. I don't know if that's possible where he'll be the relentless guy. And he does so much for your team when he's attacking the basket. He was a strong finisher back in the day when he was healthy before all the knee problems. He was a guy who, if he wasn't going to make it, the defense was going to collapse. He'd get the ball to somebody else. That's the player the Knicks have to have here in the regular season. I don't know if he'll be, you know, I don't know how much a percentage, Alyssa, he'll be of the former player he once was, but he's got to get close to that that level again for the Knicks to be a good team.
Okay, host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, back with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to zero in on the New York Knicks. And obviously, Phil Jackson, he seems to prefer working with guys that he's known from the Laker years, of course, hired his former player in Derek Fisher, and then advanced and moved Kurt Rambis to the big boy seat last season. How surprised were you that he hired a Phoenix Suns former coach in Jeff Hornacek?
Totally shocked, because he really had no relationship at all for Jeff Hornacek. Jeff Hornacek had played for many years for Jerry Sloan in Utah. He had played in Phoenix before. He had obviously faced Phil Jackson as a player. They had no relationship. The only link really was that Kurt Rambis had been a teammate, I think, at one point of Jeff Hornacek years ago. But no, this was a thing that we all thought, that Phil was going to definitely elevate Kurt Rambis to full-time status, to a take the interim tag off and make him the head coach. But kind of hard to sell that in New York when Kurt Rambis had a very bad record last year after they fired Derek Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is Jeff Hornacek in Phoenix, you know, the other thing is he didn't run the triangle. He ran a system that got up and down the court. It was guard-oriented. He doesn't know anything about the trial. So it was a real surprise. You know, there are only 30 NBA jobs. There's only one New York Knicks coaching job. It's been down for a while. If you can get the Knicks back into the playoffs, you'll be a big hero in town. So I think Jeff was really raring to go, get back into the fray here after, you know, there were some down times in Phoenix. He started out at 48 wins. By the time it was over and done with, they had traded off most of his best players, so he was in a losing situation. So I think he was ready to get back in. So I guess it was a situation where, you know, Phil looked at Hornacek and said, hey, maybe this is the guy who can get it done for me here, and he'll mm-hmm. coach our offense. And Hornacek obviously want to get back in.
We are getting you ready for the start of the 2016 NBA season. Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio has been with us tonight right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Thanks again so much, Mitch.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to the all new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Of course, all of our guests tonight are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And indeed, it is week 5 of the NFL season, and he is back. Of course, we're talking about Tom Brady and his return after the Deflategate suspension. And offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel says he is ready to go on Sunday. We are thrilled to welcome back to the program New York Times bestselling author and co-host of the Dale and Holly Show on Boston Sports Radio Station, WEEI in Boston. We're going to highlight his brand new book that he has just released. It is titled Belichick and Brady, Two Men, the Patriots, and How They Revolutionized Football. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening. The Big E. What's going on?
Hey, it's all good. It's all good down here in Houston. Yes, it is such an honor to have you back with us, Michael. We love you, and congratulations on the book, and I promise we're going to talk about that here in a moment, but let's get all of our fans fired up for the game on Sunday, the Patriots and the Browns, and my goodness gracious, what in the world happened against the Buffalo Bills? You guys didn't even get on the board.
Not even a contest. Kept waiting and waiting for something to happen, and it didn't happen. Just bad things were happening. I'll tell you this, this is how stunning it is and how stunning it was. The Buffalo Bills, since Gillette Stadium opened in 2002, have won there twice. One time they won in 2014. The Patriots weren't even trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to protect their starters going into the postseason. And then there was what happened last Sunday. So it's shocking when Buffalo beats the Patriots in Foxborough. So it was just one of those terrible days when the third-string quarterback was in there and they couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, it happens. And so let's move ahead. I mean, it's hard to believe that it has been, what, close to 18 months since Deflategate, and Tom Brady missed, obviously, the first 4 weeks of the NFL season. Tell us this, your time, you know, when you're over there and covering him. I mean, what do you think he's learned?
I think he's learned that everybody's not your buddy. That's the number one takeaway, as silly as that sounds. You know, you think about it. Tom Brady became a full-time starter in 2001, won his first 10 playoff games, 4 Super Bowl championships, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And there weren't many occasions for him to be criticized nationally. And so late in his career, he's 37 years old, and for the first time, he's getting ripped apart from coast to coast, and I think that really stunned him. He wasn't ready for that. So that's one of the takeaways. The second takeaway is he loves football. And when he's away from it and he's healthy, he doesn't know what to do with himself, besides being photographed in the news, hanging out with his wife. But other than that, you know.
Right, Michael. Oh, my gosh.
The field. So I think he's just excited to be back on the field.
Okay, so why do you think he is such a polarizing figure? Because obviously, I mean, you either love him or you hate him. I mean, he's shiny to look at, but, you know, we have mixed emotions about this guy.
Okay, so what? Now, I don't know. Now, Biggie, I'm not saying I'm like this, because I'm not. I'm happy for everybody. I love everybody. If you can make a lot of money,
sure,
and you can be famous and do your thing, go ahead and do it. But for some folks, it's Tom Brady. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He's a GQ Esquire cover boy. He's married to an internationally famous supermodel.
Yeah.
He's got wonderful commercials. He's friendly with famous actors, comedians, and musicians. And he's a winner. So for some folks, that's not good. And they didn't like him before Deflategate. Now, Deflategate takes it to another level, because if you believe what the NFL is putting out there, you believe that Tom Brady was hiding information on his phone, and he destroyed his phone so people couldn't see it, and he was telling ball boys to do illegal things with the football. I don't necessarily believe that. I know some people do, and there you go. That's how you have a polarizing figure like Tom Brady.
Okay, so Tom Brady, how bad, just real quick before we talk about your book, how bad is he going to destroy the Browns on Sunday?
Okay, now you see, this is just unfair, because you are recording this,
uh-huh,
and when I'm wrong, you just gotta put it out there and like, see, you just gotta know what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, I think there'll be a little bit of a transition period. I think they're gonna beat the Browns.
Really?
That's
okay.
Not going
yeah,
out on the limb, but I don't see it being like a 50-7 kind of game, and Tom Brady throws for 500 yards. I think he'll do well. And maybe the next week or the week after is when you start to see Tom Brady again.
Okay.
The real Tom Brady.
Yes. Michael Hawley, New York Times bestselling author and radio host of WEEI in Boston. Of course, we're highlighting his new book titled Belichick and Brady, Two Men, the Patriots and How They Revolutionized Football. Tell us about the book. What can our listeners look forward to?
Well, I want to do the book. Every book, I have to ask myself two or three questions, and if I get yeses on those questions, I go forward. One of the questions is, can I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do this? Can I do it?
Yeah.
I said, okay, yes, I can. Another question is this a magazine article or is it a book? I say, it's a book.
Uh-huh.
Go forward. And the third thing is, and is it something, is there a topic here that I don't know enough about and I really want to dive into the research? And the answer there was yes, because it's that sustained excellence thing that the NFL doesn't want. We know this. The NFL would much rather have, you know, 32 different teams win the Super Bowl and just have parity. And the Patriots have kind of broken that mold and broken that model. And I wanted to investigate how and why. And so that's what the premise of the book is about.
Belichick and Brady, it obviously, I mean, Michael, it's been a historic partnership between these two. They've won more games than any coach quarterback in league history. What has been the key to their success?
I think the key is, you used the key word there, Big E, and you said partnership.
Yeah.
So these guys are the consummate coach-player tandem. Yeah, Tom Brady, for all the things I mentioned earlier, and all the fame and all the success, that's off the field. But when he goes to that locker room, he wants to be coached, and he needs to be coached. And Bill Belichick, he's got his own brand of fame, and he's polarizing in his own right, and he's got his face all over the place, and he's got people telling him he's going to the Hall of Fame. But when he gets there, he will call himself out. He will call out his coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He will call out Tom Brady. And so these guys, no matter what they have happening away from football, at their core, they're just obsessive football junkies, and they see it the same way. It wouldn't work if Tom Brady didn't allow himself to be coached. It wouldn't work if Tom Brady said, all right, I'm going to go to the media and demand a new contract, or I'm going to rip you for moving on from my best friends, which Belichick has done. You know, Belichick has cut or allowed some of Brady's best friends to go to free agency, and yet there's not a problem in football operations. So it's just really exploring the life and times of Brady and Belichick. And I got to tell you, Biggie, I really, really enjoyed the research and writing of this project. There was a lot to dive into, and I'm just really blessed to be able to put it together.
Michael, I apologize. We are short on time. We've got to wrap it up. And I just have to say to all of our listeners out there, it is a fascinating read about the dynamic between two of football's most iconic champions, Belichick and Brady, two men, the Patriots, and how they revolutionized football. Congratulations, Michael. And I look forward to another conversation during the holidays, okay?
Absolutely. You got a great show. Thanks a lot for having me on. I look forward to talking to you next month.
You bet. All the best. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to the all new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. You know what? The NBA season, I am so excited. It is just around the corner. Training camp is underway. So tonight we have selected a book that we are going to feature and shine the spotlight on. It is titled The Boys of Dunbar, a story of love, hope, and basketball. We're delighted to welcome in the author, Alejandro Danois, who is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening, Alejandro.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I think I've made it now. I made it to the Big E Show.
Yeah, you are big league. That's right. So congratulations on your new book. This is obviously, I know you understand this, it's an exciting time of year as we get set for the start of the NBA season. And one thing, I know you haven't been on our program in the past, but one thing about our program is that we love inspirational stories of ambition, of determination, and athletes that, you know, overcome odds. So tell us the story about the Boys of Dunbar and what compelled you to write this book about this particular team.
Well, you know, this is a team from Dunbar High School in East Baltimore, Maryland, from the early 80s that is widely considered to be, if not the, among the greatest high school basketball teams of all time. You have the wonderful 5'3" athletic marvel Tyrone Muggsy Bogues, who goes on to become the shortest player in the history of the National Basketball Association, probably the most beloved player in the history of the Charlotte Hornets franchise. You had David Wingate and Reggie Williams, who went on to win a national championship at Georgetown University, at the apex of this Hoya paranoia phenomenon. And then you also had Reggie Lewis, who rewrote the record books at Northeastern University up in Boston, playing for the future Hall of Fame coach Jim Calhoun before he went on to win national championships at the University of Connecticut. And of course, Reggie goes on to supplant the legendary Larry Bird as the captain for the fabled Boston Celtics franchise before unfortunately passing away at the age of 28 due to a heart defect. And so you've got this wonderful conglomeration of talent on the basketball court. And, you know, once I started kind of digging in and doing research and finding out about what was going on in Baltimore at the time, you know, this was 10 years in the works, a 10-year passion project, and it hit me relatively early on that this wasn't even a story about basketball at all. I thought I was writing a story about this great basketball team, but there was so much more that came into play, and I realized that I was onto something much bigger than just sports.
And as you're talking about, I mean, the Boys of Dunbar, a wonderful array of talent. Of course, as you had mentioned, we all remember Muggsy Bogues and his time in the NBA. You know, when did you first hear about the Dunbar Poets?
I first heard about those guys in the early 1980s when they were, you know, creating this wonderful majesty on the basketball court. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
There was a basketball court behind my building, and we spent an inordinate amount of time out there as kids playing, debating, arguing, anything and everything basketball related. And we're just out there one day around 1982, and we're talking about the great players from New York that we love. Bernard King was our favorite
for
the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh.
Dr. J, all of these other great players, and an older gentleman who lived in our building. We're about 12 years old at the time. And he says, yeah, New York's the king of basketball, but the greatest team I ever saw is a high school squad from Baltimore. And he'd actually seen them play when they came up to New York to play in the Harlem Holiday Classic, which was the first time that people outside of Baltimore got a glimpse at this revolutionary talent that was Muggsy Bogues. And so we asked him, well, you know, we're watching Larry Bird play for this great Celtics team and Dr. J in Philly and Magic Johnson for the Lakers, and this is the greatest team you ever saw? And he tells us that the guys at the end of the bench are going to play major Division I basketball. They've got the number one high school player in the country by the name of Reggie Williams, who's phenomenal. There's not anything he can't do on a basketball court. But the crazy thing is he's not even the best player on his own team. And so we said, well, how could the number one player in the country not be the best player on his own team? And we badgered him to find out, and he told us we weren't going to believe him. And then he eventually said, the best player on the team is a 5-foot midget, and his name is Bugsy, is what he called him. He called him Bugsy.
Uh-huh.
And we thought he was joking with us.
Yeah.
We thought he was pulling our leg, and it wasn't until a couple of years later that I'm watching ESPN, and I watch a Wake Forest basketball game, and I see this 5'3" point guard dominated game without scoring a point by the name of Muggsy Bogues. So the seeds were planted back in the early 80s for me.
Okay, the author and sports writer of The Boys of Dunbar, a story of love, hope, and basketball, the great Alejandro Danois is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eradiosports. And you can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Okay, so one of my takeaways from the book is, I mean, how unusual was it, you know, four members of a team to go on and to play in the NBA? How incredible is that?
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, when we think about the odds of one player making it and how astronomical it is, you know, it's pretty rare to have two guys from the same high school team, right? They had four, and the thing was they weren't a team that was recruited by some super scout. When you look at today's landscape of schools like Oak Hill and Montverde that dominate on the prep landscape, they're not only recruiting from around the country, they're recruiting from around the globe. You know, Ben Simmons was the most recent number one pick in the NBA draft. He's from Australia. These were kids that grew up playing on the same milk crates together in the back alleys when the older guys would shoo them off the court. They ate at the same dinner tables before they showed a hint of athletic promise. They were playing checkers and dancing and listening to music in the recreation centers. They were riding their roller skates and playing football and baseball together before anyone knew what they would go on to accomplish. And so to have four guys from the same neighborhood playing together on the same high school team that made it to the NBA, I don't think we'll ever see something like that again.
Well, what's fascinating about the book, obviously an outstanding team, but I want to learn more and share with the listeners about their exceptional leader and role model in their head coach, Bob Wade. What an extraordinary man.
Extraordinary man. He was a product of the East Baltimore community. He had graduated from Dunbar High School a generation earlier. He won an athletic scholarship to play college football, but he was no dumb jock. He was the valedictorian of his graduating class, and his mother worked in a textile factory and told him every day, I don't want you working in a textile factory like me. So he grew up with a healthy academic competitiveness in his house that he carried on gone through his NFL career, where he was coached by, among others, the legendary Vince Lombardi, who he mirrored a lot of his coaching philosophies after. But he was determined to come back to his community to make a difference in the lives of these young people through this wonderful prism of basketball and sports. He was not only the basketball coach, he was the football coach, he was the baseball coach. He sent over 100 kids off to college armed with scholarships. And he was adamant that academics came first. And he realized that it wasn't just about training kids to play sports. He was training these young men who were growing up in some harrowing circumstances in this ghetto community, in the housing projects. He was teaching them to be young men. He was teaching them to be husbands and fathers and employees and business owners. That was what was important to him. And he was just a magnificent role model to many of these young men who may not have had a father in their own home.
The conversation continues with author and sports writer, the new book that he's just released, The Boys of Dunbar, Alejandro Danois, after this quick timeout, right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows, live and on demand, right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Friday night, right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Alejandro Danois, author and sports writer of his new book, The Boys of Dunbar. Bob Wade, a mentor, a father figure, as you had said, and just very, very adamant and serious about education and that it truly, you know, would provide a passport for a better life. Talk some more about, you know, just his distinct style of leadership and what were some of the methods that he used to be able to reach into these guys' hearts and minds and to get them to maximize their gifts and talents.
Well, you know, he in and of himself was an institution in the community because, again, he had gone to Dunbar. He went to the highest level of athletic excellence that one can go to. So they saw his example, and they did not want to disappoint him. But he was he drove those kids extremely hard. And so when he was yelling at them in practice, telling them that they could run faster, that they could work harder, they could jump higher, they could dig down and find that extra gear, they didn't realize that that was his mother's voice. And that was her talking to him when he was a teenager. And so he had this sense of community about him because we talk about family, right? And we talk about love being interwoven in the story. He knew these kids' families before they were even born. He knew their mothers and their aunts and their uncles and some of their older siblings he coached. And so he pushed them incredibly hard. You know, Dunbar did not have money for a fancy weight room. The community was kind of going through some really rough changes. There was dilapidated housing. And he would drive his car around to some of the abandoned homes, and he would pick up loose bricks that were laying around on the street. And he'd wrap them up in old cloth and wrap them with duct tape. And he made those kids practice with bricks in their hands, explaining to them that in the fourth quarter, no other team would be in better condition than they were. They practiced with backpacks filled with sand. And, you know, his methods were very kind of unique and different. He was merciless in terms of how he drove them. But, you know, the results, when you look at 2 years undefeated, four guys that go on to play in the NBA, a lot of them go on to play major college basketball, and just a unique guy in the way that he drove that team.
The author and sports writer of The Boys of Dunbar, A Story of Love, Hope, and Basketball, Alejandro Danois, is with us tonight right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You know, these are exceptional athletes, but as we talk about the coach Bob Wade, I have to wonder, you know, listening to you share about him and his dedication to his student athletes, I mean, How have they honored him in that East Baltimore community?
So Bob Wade just recently retired. He was the director of the Baltimore City Public Schools Athletic Department, where he oversaw all of the athletic teams and offerings from every public school in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they named the court at Dunbar High School after him.
Wow.
And just to see the outpouring of love and to see the stands that were packed, not only with teenagers that currently attend Dunbar, but there were old players that came from far and wide to honor him, those that couldn't send in video tributes. There were, you know, senior citizens in the crowd wearing the old Dunbar colors who were part of this great team, being in the gym and watching this wonderful expression of art almost that he was able to conjure up with these teams. And, you know, he's a very important man in this city. He's a legendary figure.
Yes.
And just to see that outpouring of love and to hear his players tear up and say, "Coach, you know, I can't put into words how much you mean to me. You believed in me and you showed me a better way." And to see how productive they are, whether, you know, they might be driving a truck for the city of Baltimore. Some of them are multimillionaires, but they will all talk about how he helped make them into men.
Just a few more minutes with Alejandro Danois tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are shining the spotlight on his new book. It is a fascinating read, a story of love, hope, and basketball, The Boys of Dunbar. Hey, we're getting ready to celebrate the start of the 2016 NBA season. Perfect timing for the release of this book. And I tell you what, Alejandro, there's so many great stories in the book, but you share one in particular, the big road trip to New York to compete in the Harlem Holiday Classic. Why was this particular trip so significant?
Well, this was the first time that anyone outside of Baltimore had gotten a glimpse of Muggsy.
Yeah.
And so for folks in Baltimore, they forgot that he was short.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was so dominant. But, you know, there's a lot of funny stories, and there's one harrowing tale wrapped around this New York trip. And so, you know, they go to New York, and the organizer tells Coach Wade they're staying in the historic Claude McKay residence. He pulls up to the Harlem YMCA, where the building held none of the charm it once held during the Harlem Renaissance. It was basically a dump. It was all kinds of negative stuff going on in the street and inside the building.
Wow.
Wade was furious. The players were furious. And the people laughed at Muggsy when they introduced him in the starting lineups. They thought he was a fifth grader and somebody's little brother and said, "There's no way that this team's going to beat us." But within minutes, I mean, he was getting standing ovations. When Wade would substitute him to give him a rest, fans were coming out of the stands and begging him to put him back in the game. And so he wound up being named the tournament MVP. But it was a great bonding experience for them.
Love
it was
it.
Around the Christmas holidays, during the championship game in the final minutes. There was a really scary incident that happens with a guy in a stand who has a handgun and confronts one of the players.
Mm.
And you just see this team kind of rally together and the supporters that made the trip from Baltimore and how they wrap their arms around these kids and show them love. And, yeah, that was one of the really great stories, being able to kind of recreate and reconstruct that and put it on paper.
Oh, it's beautifully written. A story of love, hope, and basketball. The Boys of Dunbar, a must read. It'll be a New York Times bestseller. I know it, Alejandro. I just know
it. Oh, from your mouth to the higher power's ears.
Oh, amen. Okay, Alejandro Danois, been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Please go out and get a copy of the book, A Story of Love, Hope, and Basketball, The Boys of Dunbar. You can go online and get a copy. Thank you so much.
Hey, listen, thank you so much. It's a basketball book that isn't about basketball at all, and I really appreciate you having me on. Hope we can come back again and talk some more hoops during the season.
You bet, and we look forward to connecting. Thank you so much, Alejandro. Time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup, and as a reminder, we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show, at the all-new SB Nation Radio.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.